The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Let's roll. The Twisted Tuesday has begun, as has the carnage and chaos in the National Basketball Association playoffs. Day one, it was about the chalk. Day two, it was not. And the day concludes the way that it started with a top seed getting knocked off. I tell you what, this is not granddaddy's NBA playoffs, and these are not your routine eight seeds. At least the Portland Trailblazers are not. And listen, we all knew that the Portland Trailblazers was going to give the Los Angeles Lakers all that they can handle, a basketball team that's been playing playoff style basketball and intense basketball in every game in the bubble. This was their 10th game. The Lakers, well, whatever. The Lakers haven't played an intense game in a long time. But what we didn't see coming is the fact that first one to 100 won the basketball game. Portland scores 100 points. If you would have told me before the basketball game that the Portland Trailblazers are going to score 100 points, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I don't think they cover the number. You tell people before the game, yeah, Portland's going to score 100 points tonight. Yeah, you probably think, well, would they lose by 21? Was it 121 to 100? Wow, chaos and carnage. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks. Listen, the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Brooklyn Nets as 19.5-point favorites last week. And everybody said, ah, whatever, the game didn't mean anything. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, this game meant something today. But as Lee Corso says, not so fast, my friends. Let us all remember the Orlando Magic actually beat the Toronto Raptors in game one last year. And the Raptors went on to win the championship. I don't know. You imagine if Milwaukee wins the title, then the Orlando Magic are going to be like a trivia question. Which team has defeated back-to-back NBA champions in game one of the playoffs? Orlando Magic for 500, Alex? That is correct. The underdogs were barking today. You know who was more than barking but biting? The Houston Rockets kicked the crap out of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I wonder if the Thunder are going to be able to turn it back on after they were playing such good basketball before the pandemic. Speaking of turning it back on, the Washington Capitals found life. They survived, came back from a 2-0 deficit. Meanwhile, the Montreal Canadiens are still trying to score right now on Carter Hart. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. George Kurtz, you can too. Sports Rage Late Night, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage, late night. I am Morenci. Vent your rage. Laker fans venting rage right now. And I have to be a little bit concerned after what they saw this evening, holding the Portland Trailblazers to 100 points, yet still losing by 7. And as I stated, can you imagine, like before the game, if I would have told you, yeah, Portland scores 100 points tonight. Yeah, you think, all right, yeah, they got smashed. Yeah, they got smashed. You know, and, you know, we talked about this, and I brought this up. I brought this up last week. I brought this up a lot in the past. We talk about, like, volatile markets. And the softest and most volatile market out there, and it doesn't mean that it's easy, all right, because, you know, bettors can be way off as well, as we were this evening. But we're talking about totals. And we're, you know, listen, this total closed at 233, guys. It went up from 229.5 up to 233. They couldn't crack 200. They got to 193. They got to the guys. The total was off by 40 points. The total was off by 40 points. So you want to be a pro gambler, huh? All right. Speaking of which, let's bring in a man that understands the volatile nature of the gambling market. And I can't wait till he says the word dichotomy for the first time in our interview today. ProSportsInfo.com. Steve Merrill steps up and in the late night hours. And of course, we want to give a shout out to all of our radio affiliates, including our new ones in San Diego, Los Angeles, and all over SoCal, the Mightier 1090. Steve Merrill steps up and in. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well. And no, you won't hear dichotomy because there's no home road games in these series, right? It's all neutral courts. The word I would use to describe the Lakers and the Bucks today would be, I don't know. It's not letdown. It's just not in form, current form, or not even hangover. I don't know what you'd say. They're just not ready to play.
Well, they better get ready to play fast because the Portland Trailblazers are ready to play. And, you know, I sort of think, well, it's kind of cute Orlando won, but they can't really do it again. But I don't know. Why can't they at this point? And there's a lot I want to throw at you, Steve. Because listen, you and I have been talking for a long time, you know what, like, you know, nearly 20 years now. And I remember, and that's why I was looking forward to having you on tonight. There's no better, you know, there's no better system and there's no better feeling. And it's just so much fun when you're betting the playoffs and you get into the old zigzag theories, right, Steve? And wow, this team's going back home now. This team's in a letdown. And there really is sort of a pattern to it all. But to me, you throw that pattern out now, bro. They're on a neutral court. There is no pop. There is no home call. You know, and a great point was brought up by Chris Webber tonight during the game when the Blazers blew the big lead. They were up by 14. I think it was like, you know, 32-18 or so. Lakers took a time. It was a timeout. And the Lakers went on like a 13-1 run, Steve. And Webber brought it up and he said, imagine if there was the crowd right now. This is game one. There's fans. You're in Los Angeles. Place is going crazy. It's a lot more pressure on the Blazers. They would probably fall apart. He goes, there's no fans now. It gives the team a chance to get back in the game. And I think that's true. Number two, I'm noticing the Stars aren't getting these free calls anymore like they normally do. And number three, there's no more psychological sort of crutch. We're cool. We're going home. Yeah, we're down 2-0, but we never lose. We're going home. We never lose when we go home. We're going to tie it up at 2 when we go home, and then it'll be a series again. All that is gone. Yeah, say what you will, man, about this pandemic, but these playoffs are going to be freaking interesting because of all these dynamics, Steve.
Yeah, by the way, the Magic and Blazers on a two-team money line parlay paid 24-1 tonight. So anybody out there that saw that, now the Magic was almost 10-1. They're anywhere from 9 to 10-1 outright. Yeah, so that was obviously the one you had to have to make it a big payoff. That was the long shot. But
I did have the Blazers on.
Speaking
the money
of which, when you have Teddy on later this week, I've been doing Teddy and I do NBA tip off every weekday at 3 Eastern on Wager Talk TV. So I've been talking to Teddy for 3 weeks straight about NBA every day, and he got really worked up about Zigzag doesn't work anymore on yesterday's show on Monday. So, yep. Gabe, if you want to get them all worked up later this week, be sure to ask him about the zigzag theory. He said it hasn't worked since the 90s. Now, technically, he's right. But when you and I say zigzag, we're talking about looking for picking our spots. You know, we're not blindly playing the loser of every game, obviously. Right, exactly. And he takes everything literally, of course. But you and I are talking more big picture here when we say zigzag. We're talking about picking our spots with teams like the Bucks and the Lakers, Class A teams off a loss. And it does usually work in that situation, by the way, still. The problem, though, like you said, is nothing's normal this year. I mean, the NBA playoffs are my favorite thing to handicap for the last 25 years as a professional. I love it. It's consistently a best moneymaker for me. The problem is, like you said, we don't have any home courts anymore. We have a situation where the Bucks and Lakers had been off for 3+ months. They had very little to play for in the bubble. They both only had to win like one game basically to lock up the one seed, which they did. And it's interesting, by the way, Gabe, Milwaukee was down by 10 after the first quarter. They lost by 12. So they only got outscored by 2 the rest of the way. The Lakers were down by 11 tonight. They lost by 7. So they actually outscored Portland by 4 the final 3 quarters. So it's very clear what happened. They both came out flat in the first quarter against two teams, Orlando and especially Portland, who've been playing hard for several weeks now. Orlando really hasn't looked good, but Portland was in the play-in game Saturday. You know, so the two trains of thought were they would be flat tonight, they'd have nothing left, or they'd have that momentum. And obviously they had that momentum because they outscored them by 11 and then got outscored by 4 the rest of the way.
And all interesting points. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Steve, so yeah, thanks for telling me about that, Teddy, because, you know, there's nothing I love more than pissing off Teddy Covers, right? So I'm going to come out and I'm going to talk about how much like great the zigzag theory is then. Like, I'll plant it sort of, and he'll be like, oh, you're an idiot. Like,
he'll cut you off.
So
you won't make
what?
It 15 seconds into that, though. So you got to make it quick because he's going to cut you off fast. I'm telling you.
Me and Teddy throw haymakers, right? We've both got thick skin and we go way back too, right? So yeah, me and Teddy have gotten into it once. I actually got so mad, man.
I'm going to tune in. When is that? When do you have him on? Thursday? You have him Thursday night, right?
Yeah, Thursday night, right off the top.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to mark that on my calendar to listen.
Man, Teddy has a way, and you know Teddy. He's an instigator, right? And so we were live on the air. I lost a bet, and I was like live, like it happened live. And I'm like, oh, man. And he gave me the, oh, how could you bet that? How could you lay that number? And I said, what? How could I do what? And I said, oh, I went off. It was so like much. I got so mad. Like after the show, he actually sent me a text. He goes, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't like, I was just kidding. And like, because I think you got mad for real. And I said, yeah, I did get mad for real. I said, yeah, you upset me for real. But I said, I'm not mad now. Like, so I was just upset at the moment there. But yeah, thanks for telling me that. I'll go at Teddy there. And so what do you think about the calls?
As you know, though, I mean, I was going to say, Teddy's probably one of the nicest guys on earth, though. That's what's so funny about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. He likes playing the role of the jerk. That's his thing. Dude, like one of the funniest stories ever, man. We were in Vegas. It was a couple of years ago. I don't know. It was probably about like 3-4 years ago. 4 years. I don't know. Wait, about in that range. So it wasn't that long ago, but it wasn't like a couple of years ago. Like, let's say 3 to 5 years ago. And we're doing like, you know, live shows in Vegas and stuff. And, you know, so the shows are done. And we're partying and we're in a hotel room and we're watching the games and Brian Blessing is there.
And Brian Blessing actually has an over, Steve, in a Virginia Cavalier game, okay? In the NCAA tournament. And I swear to God, bro, I thought Brian was going to punch Teddy. Teddy's like in front of everyone. He goes, you bet the over in a Virginia Cavalier? He goes, what, you a moron? He's like, but he wouldn't let it go. Eh? He goes, who the hell bets the over of a Virginia Cavalier game? And it was nowhere near, bro, Steve. It was like one of those games. It was like 13-13, like near the end of the half type thing. Dude, I think it went to overtime. Like, whatever. It ended up going over the number, man. Like, Blessing, like, had to take shoving it in Teddy's face. What do you think about that, Stefanski? Four trades late, like, can you bring it?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenci, Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk TV, kicking it with us right now. We're talking NBA basketball. But it would be remiss of me, Merrill, not to bring up how your Washington Capitals live to fight another day. Down three games
Did
to
they?
None. Yeah, down. Yeah, I know you were going to get that. Like, Merrill's a front runner. He's like, they're not winning the cup this year.
I honestly did not even know what the series was at or who they were playing. I think they're playing the Islanders, right? I think I saw that. Yeah, Is that who they're playing?
Yeah.
I'm being serious. That's how little I'm following it, Gabe. I really have not even looked at it. Wow.
Yeah, George Kurtz will join us later. He's an Islander fan, so we'll get Kurtz's perspective of this. Yeah, have you gotten your Washington Football Club hat yet too with the new football team?
Yes, I was doing a show last week. I'm doing a lot of name? Baseball and basketball every day, and NASCAR at Wager Talk TV. So yeah, you can tell obviously I've not been looking at the hockey, but I had a red shirt on the other day, and I told him I was wearing my Redskins shirt. So it's gonna be very hard for me not to call them the Redskins. Football Club is, you know, it's just too many syllables.
Yeah, you're gonna have to let that go.
Will I be shamed if I call them the Redskins this year? Does that make me a bad person?
Say, I don't know if we can have you on anymore, actually. Like, yeah, I'm going to say, you know,
can't have me on. We can't talk NFC East when I'm on.
Yeah, Steve refuses to conform with the modern norms.
I will call them by their new nickname when they have one.
The best, Steve, you know, liked it last night. We had a UFC fighter on. I said, so what was it like, you know, fighting in a COVID era? He goes, I don't really wear a mask in real life because, you know, I'm not a communist, but, you know, if I have to for the UFC, I will. He drops it in. So I'm not a communist about wearing a mask. And God. I sort of made it, yeah, I made a note to myself before. I was like, whatever you do, like, don't ask this guy about politics. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I've been around long enough, Merrill, to know You don't ask UFC fighters about politics, bro. It's not like it's not going to end well. Like,
who was that, by the way?
Especially like in the woke era. Right,
I got to start following this guy.
Oh, yeah, you're going to like him. Yeah, Vince from Hell Pichel. That's his Twitter. From Hell Pichel. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar with Vince. I'll have to look him up.
Oh, yeah. You'll like him. You'll like his style, Merrill. All right. So kicking it with Steve Merrill right now. So a lot of interesting dynamics here. So let's talk about this Dallas Mavericks game. Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. It clearly had an impact. Now, listen, I'm not an if guy, all right? If ends and butts were candies and nuts and all that crap, I'm not an if guy. It is what it is. Porzingis was stupid. You know, I'm not going to deny it. He already had a technical. You have to know better. You can't go flying in and then expect the league to bail you out. The problem is, it was just the first technical was so soft and stupid that it just compounded the situation. But, Steve, it had a clear impact on the basketball game. Porzingis was playing great. He's popping shots from the outside. He opens everything up. You're talking about a guy that's 7'3" that can shoot a three. He really opens the court up. It spreads everything out for everybody. And the total stays under by a couple of points. Don't tell me if Porzingis is playing that game doesn't go over, Steve. As soon as he left, bro, all they had was Doncic and Hardaway scoring. They hit the wall. They got stuck on 9 points in the third quarter, and they couldn't score. And they were in this game without him. They might have won the game if Porzingis doesn't get kicked out. But I guarantee you, they were going to cover the game, and the game would have went over. That really had a massive impact on that basketball game, Steve. What are you expecting in game two?
Oh, no question about it. I had, full disclosure, my top play on Monday night was the Clippers. So I was happy to see that happen, but I thought it was kind of bull. He has to be careful, like you said. He's got one technical. He shouldn't have had one, but he had one. And that was the reality of the situation. You can't be going in there and doing that stuff. You have to be walking on eggshells. It's like when you're, one foul away from fouling out, you got to walk on eggshells. So it was dumb, but it definitely affected the game. And the Clippers barely covered and won by 8, even without him out there for half the game. By the way, the game 2 line tomorrow night, 6.5, exactly what it closed at last night. Here's what's interesting, though, Gabe. The Laker line is popping up now. The Lakers went from 5.5 to 6.5 today. They're now 5.5 in game 2 off the loss. And the Bucks, who were closed at 14, went from like 12 to 14 today. They're now 12.5 in game 2 on Thursday. So the odds makers are not pricing in the bounce back on either Milwaukee or today. The Clippers and the Raptors as 2 seeds obviously looked a little bit better yesterday. But no question, these teams that had nothing to play for in the bubble have not come out as barnstormers for the most part, except for Toronto. And Toronto was actually the only one that played hard for the entire bubble for the most part.
Yeah, and they played their backups a lot, but they played hard still. Like, they played to win every game, and they went 7-1 in the bubble. You're right. So it's interesting, though, isn't it? Listen, it's only been – so we've seen everybody play once now. It's been 2 days of playoff basketball, Steve. So I'm going to do what all talk show hosts should do, make a quick, rash decision and judgment. But I said this before the playoffs started. After 2 days, Merrill, who are the best 2 teams? You just called them. The Clippers, and the Raptors. And I think those are the teams that are going to be playing in the finals. Like, do you believe – listen, man, the Bucks are going to come back. They should come back, and they should beat Milwaukee. I'm not ready to click. We used to say run to the window. No one's running the windows. Now we say click. So I'm not ready to click on the Milwaukee Bucks to bounce back and throttle these guys on a neutral court. This is what I'm talking about, too. It's a neutral court. They don't get that pop, Steve, from the crowd and everything. I think some of these numbers, are overvalued. And even my Toronto Raptors. If the Raptors were playing at home, they should be 10.5 point favorites. It's not being priced into the number here, Steve. But I wanted to ask you, even if Milwaukee comes back against Orlando, do you really think they're going to the finals? I don't. They're not that good. They're not that deep. They're not.
Yeah, I've said for a few weeks now I was not interested in the Bucks at -160 to win the conference when I could get the Raptors at 4-1 or even the Celtics at 4-1. I mean, that's where the value is. And by the way, Gabe, I was looking at the Westgate odds yesterday compared to last summer before the season started. Of the 8 Eastern Conference playoff teams, The Raptors had the longest odds to win the conference. The only one that was longer were the Magic at 30-1 last July. The Raptors were at 25-1 last July to win the Eastern Conference. The Nets were 12-1. So that just shows that the Raptors have a chip on their shoulder. They're playing hard. It's the only time I've ever seen the defending world champs, a team that wins their first title ever, not have a letdown. If anything, they're playing more hungry because no one expects them to be there this year without Kawhi Leonard. And yeah, they were 25-1 last summer. They're now 4-1. And I still think they're probably not getting valued like they should.
So they're the first ones up here, Steve. And it's tough. The market, you know, the Raptors are so consistent, but they're laying 11 here. How do you approach this basketball game with the Raptors here against the Nets in game two?
If this was a normal game two on the road for the Nets, I would be looking at them because I always like to play game two teams off blowout losses in game one. However, that angle works better, Gabe, when it's a capable team. The Nets as a 7 seed were not considered a capable team coming into the bubble. However, along with Toronto, they probably played as well as anybody in the Eastern Conference for those 8 games the last couple of weeks. So my gut tells me it's a bounce back spot, but once again, it's a neutral court. By the way, they were a 9.5, 10-point favorite, lost by 24. Now it's 11. So we're definitely getting some line value based on that result. It's a little bit of a quirky blowout too, as you know. I mean, you follow the Raptors closely. The free throw shooting, a lot of that stuff is a little bit extreme. I would look for that to return more to the norm. And if it does, then the Nets probably have some value at plus 11.
Yeah, the problem is, and you get this, what happens with championship teams. The number is baked into the cake, so to speak. And, you know, the Raptors probably win around the number. That's the problem. They're going to win around 11, 12, 13 points or so. We took the Raptors in the first half. I expected them to come out and punch the Nets in the mouth in the first half, and they did. I would expect, you know what I would look at, guys? I would look at I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets played well in the first couple of minutes of the game. Like, you know, maybe the Nets in the first quarter and then the Raptors sort of pull away after. But the Raptors are, man, they're just so freaking consistent, man, right now. They show up every day and every game. And the thing with the Raptors, too, that makes them so good is you can say they don't really have superstar players, and they don't, but it's a different guy that can beat you all the time with this team, right? Like you said, look, Van Fleet's 8-for-10 from three. That's 80%, guys. Right. So he goes, he shoots 8 threes. What do you know? So everyone else, like Ibaka, was great. He only played like 15, 17 minutes for most of the game. Right. So there's always, you know, Lowry can go off, or Powell, or Siakam. That's what makes the Raptors so dangerous, that anybody it can be somebody else every day that carries them. They're not relying on just one or two players. It's a tough game. The Raptors are always tough games to bet on because of the point spreads. The total's 226. What do you make of the number here, Steve? The Raptors are a defensive team, but I like the first quarter under in game one. It was 56, and it got to 57 because the Raptors couldn't miss. I don't think the Raptors are going to shoot the three that well again. What do you make of the total? Is it a little high right now, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, one thing on the side real quick, I mentioned, you know, normally I look for these teams to bounce back off blowout losses, but they're only if they're decent teams. Brooklyn's 35-38 on the season still. Toronto's 54-19, so huge difference there. I do think the Raptors' defense is as good as anyone in the playoffs, so I'd probably lean towards the under for that reason. Game one was high scoring because they shot lights out, you know, and I don't think that'll be repeated here.
Steve Merrill we're going to be taking a break in a couple of seconds, but want to get into Utah and Denver. We got a 4-point point spread there. Donovan Mitchell went off for 57 points, but it wasn't enough. They ended up losing in overtime. Totals 217.5 in this basketball game. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morenci. Colonel Kurtz will step up and in level two. George Kurtz from the bunker in Long Island Steve Merrill joins us from Virginia right now as we're kicking it. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. And this is just our second night, actually, on the Mightier 1090, the new Mightier 1090 that just relaunched. Great programming throughout the day on the network. So shout out to everybody in Los Angeles, San Diego, Southern California, and everybody out there. I know we've got a lot of Rageaholics that we're already tuning in on a nightly basis, but now you can do it in your cars up and down the coast. Steve Merrill kicking it with us right now. All right, there, Steve. So, man, and it was one of many bad beat losses that I've had over the last couple of days. I was on the Utah Jazz plus the points in the game in game one. Whew. And if Jokic hits that shot, Steve, at the end of regulation, then they cover, right? Then, you know, they cover and everything's fine. They go to overtime, they end up falling apart, they end up losing by 10. What are you expecting in game two here? And listen, the Denver Nuggets have been over machines. Every game has gone over for the Denver Nuggets. The Utah Jazz, this isn't like the old school Utah Jazz. It's all about defense. They actually want to push the tempo and shoot threes now. I'm thinking this game goes over the number, but what do you think about the side of this game?
By the way, Teddy had the Nuggets minus 4.5 yesterday. So you guys can talk about that as well.
Lucky Teddy.
Definitely. Only an idiot would bet the Jazz. The Jazz.
Yeah, I know. How'd you take the Jazz? Did you know that Mike Conley wasn't there? No, I didn't know that. Yeah, thanks. It's amazing, though, isn't it? That Jokic shot goes in. They don't cover the number. They win by two. It's amazing, this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's cruel. It's cruel, Merrill.
Well, the what was it? The 8 second thing too, or whatever. Mitchell had a great game, but he probably cost you the cover. I mean, it's amazing to me, Gabe. Also, when these guys go off, 57 points, they lose. Luka sets a debut record for an NBA playoff game, 42. They lose. Remember back when Jordan had 63 in a playoff game, they lost back in the 80s. Kobe put up, you know, 60s or 70s in some games with the Lakers in the regular season. They lost some of those games. You know, it's counterintuitive until you start thinking about it. But obviously, if you're a one-man team like that, something's not right. And that was kind of the problem for the Jazz. We'll see if they can get other guys involved.
Yeah, you're better off. Like,
that was the difference, but that was a brutal.
Like we were talking about. I'd rather have seven guys that all score 15 points.
And that's a great point, though. And that's why the Raptors, even in the bubble, when they weren't trying, they couldn't help but go 7-1. You know, and obviously in the playoffs with every other day off, no travel now, you do rely on superstars. It's hard pressed to name a team in the last 30 years that's won the NBA title didn't have a Hall of Famer, basically. You know, even those Pistons teams that were kind of very well rounded, they had Isaiah, you know, those Pistons teams in the 2000s, like Rip Hamilton, you know, Billups, they probably do not have a Hall of Famer. They had like four All-Stars that year. So normally you need a superstar. And, you know, Mitchell showed that he could be that yesterday. I wasn't considering him a superstar, but putting up 57 is pretty damn impressive. I'm not sure the Nuggets have a star like that. So I think Utah, you know, they should have covered yesterday. That was a brutal beat for you. I mean, no question about it. That'll go down as one of the worst beats in the playoffs, and it happened right at the beginning on day one, basically.
Oh, that's just one of many in a day. That's just one of many in a day for me. Joe Ingles props, guys. We'll go over the prop numbers a little bit later on. But Joe Ingles, guys, if you like to bet on the props, is definitely a player to look at, especially with Mike Conley not being there. He's very aggressive offensively. He shoots. He rebounds. He gets assists. Joe Ingles is a stat machine. But Joe Ingles also is a terrible defender, and that's why Jamal Murray went off in the fashion that he did. It's tough. I'm having a hard time, like, taking Utah here. I'll be looking at the over, Steve. I'll be looking at some props. But they just don't have. Like, Rudy Gobert is good, but he's not. He can't score. Good defensive player. Mitchell can't do it by himself. Joe Ingles, they just don't have enough offense besides Donovan Mitchell right now. You know, you don't have Mike Conley. You don't have Bogdanovich. It's just too much. It's just too much to overcome. And, you know, quite frankly, Denver's probably to play again, guys. I just hate zigzagging and being, you know, day late, dollar short and taking one team and then chasing and then whatever. But I'm looking at the over in that basketball game. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, kicking it with us All right, Steve, Philadelphia at Boston, sort of a similar situation, actually, in which Philadelphia is just not deep enough. Like, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, they've got Embiid. They're not a particularly great outside shooting team. They're out of sync. They don't have a great coach. Yet, I think Boston are overrated. Boston lose Gordon Hayward right now. The number's pretty much the same as it is in game one here. And I was on Philadelphia in game one, and they hung around all night. But then they fell apart late, Steve. What do you make of this one in game two?
Yeah, Gabe, I'll use your favorite word here for the Sixers and the Sixers only, dichotomy. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago when the bubble began. The one team that jumped out to me as having the worst home road split during the regular season was Philadelphia. They've gone 29-2 straight up at home, 10-24 straight up on the road before the shutdown in March. And it makes a lot of sense. They're a younger team than most, inexperienced, and they don't always shoot that well. And that's kind of a recipe for not playing well on the road versus at home. So I kind of had that circled. They did not look good at all in the bubble. And they, you know, I don't think they're going to go that far here in the playoffs. And as I mentioned earlier, if you're looking for someone to dethrone the Bucks, it's going to be either the Raptors or the Celtics. And, you know, Tatum, he put out that he might be a superstar after game one for the Celtics. Another guy that's been kind of flying under the radar. But he's only 22 years old. And I just don't see Philly winning this series. And like I said earlier, I do like to look at decent teams to bounce back, but I think the Celtics are the better team here. And the fact that Philly led that game in the second half, you know, got out to the early lead, held on for most of the game. I don't think the Celtics will come out complacent here in game two. I just have not liked what I've seen so far from Philly in the restart.
Yeah, I'm surprised the number's not a little bit higher. I got burnt once. I do think Boston are the play in game two. Steve Merrill kicking with us. All right, Steve, so before we get you out of here, how's the Major League Baseball diamond been treating you this year?
It's been good. I missed out on a run line today on the Astros, 2-1 loss, and I had a -1.5. It was a near miss, but I'd been on an 11-2 all sports run the previous 9 days. So both basketball and baseball have been going well. And I got to tell you, it's not a coincidence. You know, I'm doing the daily NBA show every day. I've been subbing in for baseball. Actually, I'll be doing the baseball show tomorrow. I do NASCAR every week. And as you know, Gabe, when you do this stuff every day, there's something about when you're talking about games just out loud and with other cappers, it really helps your handicapping. And, the restart in both baseball and basketball has been good for me so far. I haven't really changed too much of what I'm doing. I'm just really keeping a close eye on the day-to-day situations, and it's been working.
And speaking of which, and what works, Steve, and I've talked a lot about this over the years with Teddy as well when it comes to baseball, in which, and you as well, don't overthink things, and it's such a streaky sport, and, you know, basically bet against the bad teams and ride the wave. And the Boston Red Sox are a good example of this. You know, it almost seems like it gets like, wow, you know, can you bet against them on a daily basis? But I guess the answer is yes, right? Like, don't, in baseball, don't you have to take advantage of riding the hot teams and betting against the cold teams, Steve?
I totally agree. And, you know, it's interesting when I do the first pitch show on Wager Talk TV, and I'll be hosting it tomorrow, by the way, 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. We'll have three or four other cappers on every day, and almost all the times they're focusing mainly on the starting pitchers. And I love that because when I get my little 15, 20 seconds in, I hardly ever talk about the pitchers anymore. I'm talking about current offensive momentum, current form, bullpens. And it's working really well because the odds makers are pricing these games, as you know, Gabe, based largely on the starting pitcher. It's already in the odds. So where you find your edge is looking deeper. And I agree with you. I think momentum is more important in baseball than any other sport. And yes, it's only a 60-game season, but they're still playing every day. Nothing's changed in that regard. And you look at some of these offensive teams, they've been cold for several weeks. You look at these bullpens, they continue to struggle. And I think you have to be very careful trying to guess which day a team is going to turn things around when they're not playing well.
I totally agree, Steve. And I remember you and I for years. I remember you and I talking about this the years when the Royals were good, when they were going to the World Series and stuff, and they won the World Series. And it was all about their bullpen, bro. Right? Like the playoff teams, the teams that are successful in the playoffs, it's the better bullpen. It's not the team that had the most home runs. It's the team with the better bullpen. And as you stated, Steven, listen, I've been guilty of it, but I less and less, I don't even care who the starting pitcher is now, Steve. You know, I obviously, you know, I'm not betting against Garrett Cole, and there's certain guys that not everything is absolute, but I agree with you. And especially, Steve, what do you think about this? In the modern era right now, bro, it's completely different as well. Even the best starting pitchers don't even go like more than 6-7 innings nowadays, right? I, you know, like they, if you go 5 innings, that's a quality start nowadays. ton of these, like, there's so many scrubs and all these crappy pitchers, Steve. Every night, it doesn't even matter. It's all basically they start these stiffs. They're hoping to get two or three innings from the guy, and they go right into the bullpen after the fact. You know, I think starting pitching has his least impact on capping baseball as it's ever had before.
I agree. I mean, I'd say, you know, the one consistency is that the lineup is pretty much the same every day. And if a guy goes into a slump hitting the ball, he's going to probably be in a slump for several days. Whereas if he gets hot, you know, that momentum carries. Look at the Baltimore Orioles. Perfect example. They'd won 6 out of 7 games going into this week straight up as a dog. They've now lost 3 straight. And if you saw how they lost tonight against the Blue Jays in the 10th inning, the guy's rounding third to tie the game in the bottom of the 10th. They hold him up. He gets caught in a rundown, and they end up losing the game on the next hitter. They've now lost 3 straight. I'd be very careful with a team like the Orioles. They're expected to be a bottom feeder. They started off 12-8. They're now 12-11. You can kind of see the momentum shifting. It's almost obvious when you look at it in hindsight, yet people don't take advantage of that stuff. So I think sometimes taking more of a big picture approach than handicapping baseball as a team sport can really benefit you, especially when the odds makers and the general public are looking at the pitchers a little too much.
Good point, Steve, as far as to the overachieving bad baseball teams. Once they start losing, the floodgates could really open and they could lose a lot. And on the other side of the spectrum, well, we've only got about a minute left, Steve, and thanks for joining us. But look at the New York Yankees. So the Yankees just keep losing players on a daily basis, yet they kept on winning. Yet they were playing against bad baseball teams. They were beating up on the Boston Red Sox. They were 10-0 at home. Now they get Tampa. Tampa rolls in there and gets it done. I don't see any reason. You know, it's interesting. Tampa gets Garrett Cole. Glasnow against Cole. Eventually, Cole's got to lose, dude. He hasn't lost since May 19th. But, Steve, to quote a very smart man, do you want to catch a falling knife that's Garrett Cole right now?
Right. That's exactly right. That's like I said, when a team is playing bad, you want to try to guess which one game they break out of it. Because one analogy I heard years ago is if you ride winning streaks and losing streaks, you can only be wrong once, but you can be right multiple times. So you're much better off trying to, you know, ride the momentum, good and bad. By the way, the Yankees, as you said, they've been really shorthanded. They keep winning, but they did it against what might be a really bad Boston team now that we're realizing. One thing I'll say about the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Twins, if you play these big favorites this year, guys, play the run line. Almost all of those teams, about 90% of their wins this year have been by 2 runs or more, or they lose the game outright. So you've done really well with these teams playing the -1.5 because they either lose outright or they win by multiple runs normally.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk TV. It's great to catch up with you, Steve. Thanks for joining us in the late night hours.
Thanks, Gabe.
For Steve Merrill with us. Great stuff with Steve Merrill. George Kurt's going to join us in level 2. I want to get into this code stuff and the unwritten rules and all that crap that's being talked about with Fernando Tatis Jr. And he actually apologized and said, well, next time I won't swing. No, next time swing and, like, hit someone in the face with the ball, bro. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Steve Merrill for joining us. George Kurtz will step up in it. I look forward to Kurtz's take on this Fernando Tatis Jr. stuff. For the record, when I was the host of the Montreal Expos post-game shows, Fernando Tatis Sr. was actually on the Montreal Expos. Nice guy. Very, very quiet. Quiet man. He had, like, anxiety issues, and he actually admitted, like, he was getting nervous at home plate, which was weird because the dude hit 2 grand slams in a game before, right? He's like the only guy in the history of baseball to do that. Remember he did against the Dodgers? He was on the Cardinals at the time. But nevertheless, yeah, it's amazing. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 2 guys that were both on the Expos whose kids are just mega like stars now, although Tatis is like a little further along than Vlad Jr. Is. So anyways, you guys know the story, and clearly people listening on the Mightier 1090 right now are aware of the story. But just for the record, with all the playoffs going on, San Diego were up 10-3. Bases were loaded. It's late. It's like the eighth inning of a baseball game. It's 10-3. Bases are loaded. Tatis Jr.'s up. It's a 3-0 count. He swings at a 3-0 pitch and hits a grand slam. All right. Texas weren't too happy about it. And they threw at Machado after Machado came, you know, batted after. They threw at Machado. The thing is, the manager of San Diego is buddies with the manager of Texas. And even the manager, even in Texas, he said, he goes, you know, once upon a time, that wouldn't have been cool, but he goes, I don't even know anymore. And he goes, I don't like it, but he goes, it doesn't mean because I don't like it that it's not, that it's just, it's not okay. So the whole debate, and everyone's crying about the unwritten rules, so to speak. And I always find it amazing. And I'll tell you what, I learned a hell of a lot from Frank Robinson, all right? And you know, Frank is as credible as they get. The only man to be the most valuable player in the National League and the American League, the first black manager in Major League Baseball history. Guy was in the game for 50 plus years, one of the greatest players ever to play the game. All right. I had the opportunity to hang around in his office all the time and stuff, but he told me about the unwritten rules, about how they were all a pile of crap and they don't exist. And he's as old school and as hard ass as you get. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Level 2 coming up again.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.